doing tonight? Doing okay? Good, good, good. Well, it's good to see everybody, and our camera now is having to do things on the phone tonight, and so I hope it ain't in your way, but as long as you can hear, that's fine. And good to be here tonight, and good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week so far. You say, define good, Brother Justin. That's right, define good. Well, above ground, we're doing good, right? All right, well, anyway, it's been a good week, and I know the pollen's starting to roll in, and that's giving a lot of people a bunch of fits. And so, remember, Miss Christie, she's home tonight. I think that has a lot to do with her being at home. She has a migraine. I think it's the pollen and everything else. And so just remember that the Lord would hold back the pollinators. How about that? Them little creatures buzzing through the air and flowers and all that kind of stuff. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight with prayer requests and things along those lines. Let's remember our children's home and our house parents and leadership there, staff, our young people. Let's remember the services downstairs tonight with our young people. Miss Glenda, she went for her procedure this week, and everything's good, and so we praise the Lord for that. And Miss Connie Teague, she is still continuing to recover from her stomach surgery. Could you please continue to remember her? And of course, Lucy Godfrey, let's remember her. Her sister, I believe that is S-B-E-T-T-I-N-A, Bettina. All right. Hey. Pretty good. Her health. Let's remember Harold Dolph, of course, Brother Harold, but then his granddaughter, Anna Kate, with her health. Miss Diane Ely, as she continues to go for her her infection, daily medicine that she has to have done. So let's remember that. Jim Jr. and the recovery of his foot surgery. His mother, Dawn Daly, as she still recovers from her fall. She hadn't been here in a while. Leonard and Dolores Palmer with his treatments and their back and forth, of course, from South Carolina to Georgia. Just a lot of traveling, a lot of things they're going through right now. And with this new 5-week treatment plan, it's another experimental thing for Brother Leonard. And Y95, last Wednesday, I mentioned the Y, but I forgot the 95. And so, sounds like an interstate or something, doesn't it? Something like that. But nonetheless, let's continue to lift them up in prayer. Miss Claudia Darby, I know she's not doing well with her breathing and her sickness and such. Let's continue to remember her, Miss Connie Norton, and her health. My grandmother, we do not have a surgery date for her yet, but she will be having back surgery soon. Don and Carla Rich over in Peru. Krista, her hip, they're going to put in some cartilage, I guess, or sew the cartilage back where it should be. Okay. And what's that date again? 22nd, okay. Listen. Wow. Okay. Let's certainly remember them, their trip. Our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCricker, Joyce Manning, those serving in the military, James Tullen Brown, Jamie Carden, and then, of course, Kevin Brook at Champion Christian College. So let's remember all of those people. We'll open up the floor tonight if you've got a request, an update, a praise, something you want to share. Good to have our visitor tonight, Miss Lisa, with us. Not trying to embarrass her, but welcome. Make yourself at home. So does anybody have anything they want to share tonight? Hassan? Good, good. very good. It's always good to have a patient dentist. Did you say patient dentist? Oh, well, I'd rather have a patient dentist than a hurry dentist at any rate. You did. I was poking fun at you there, Hassan. But anyway, we praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. April 23rd. Okay. Let's remember this. Miss Dawn's with us tonight. We'll be praying for you for sure. And anybody else? All right. Well, that's good then. Do want to mention that at first the Operation Christmas Child was going to be in full swing, and then it was delayed. Now it's going to be in full swing again. And so we got that in full swing. Miss Cassie will be doing that along with, who was it you said? Carlene. Cassie and Carlene. Cece. Another two Ceces. Cassie and Carlene will be doing that. And that will kick off in May, I believe, the last Thursday in May. Is that right, Miss Cassie? The last Thursday in May? The fourth Thursday. I got you. All right. Well, that's awesome. And look, if you're like, well, I come to church, but there's nothing, but I really want to get involved in something. There is nothing really I do. I want to feel like I'm being used. Hey, come to this meeting, the kickoff of this meeting. You can purchase a box, stuff it with, you know, items for a child, and give a gospel tract. This is all to prepare for Christmas at the end of the year. And so there is something to do. We want there to be something to do for everybody at the church to do. And so just remember that this is going to be a really good time, and preparing for a big Operation Christmas Child box drop around Christmas time. And saying that, we are going to kick off next month outreach. I'm just still in the planning of that. We're still going to reach out to our community. We have to do that. We need, of course, we need an inlet and we need an outlet, right, for there to be circulation within the body of Christ and the community. So we're working on that. And so we'll be sharing details with you concerning that soon. All right. Well, is there anything else to mention? We're just making our way through the week and starting this, or wrapping up this month, rather. And looking forward to April. Feels like I'm missing something tonight. All right. Well, okay. All that would, meet us in the altar as we have our time of prayer together. And you can pray where you're at, or you can come down front like we always do. We're just going to pray silently, and then Brother Jeff will have a song for us, and we have a message for you to follow.
fair. I feel like traveling on this glittering couch of sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until it blesses home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. And looks like we are back on the big screen. I better not say too much about it. It might go out. Appreciate Brother Randy back there and all that hard work. Everybody else that helps out back there. I believe Miss Chrissy is, she's filling in for Christy downstairs. And then I'm sure Eli may be down there helping out. And Brother David in the back, appreciate him. All right, well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look in a couple verses. Verse number, I want to read verse number 1 through 3. But our verses we're going to spend some time in are going to be 2 and 3. But Philippians 4 and verse number 1 through 3. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will begin reading and bring the lesson we feel like the Lord's put on our heart for tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, we praise you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. We do that because we know that whatever we're going through is with purpose. Even the pain we may be experiencing is with purpose if we belong to you. And so, Father, tonight we ask that you'd be with us as we spend a little time in your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would take your word, your living word, and apply it to the hearts of your people that are here, those that are watching and listening online. And we will thank you and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Reading Philippians chapter 4 tonight, verse number 1 down through verse number 3. I want to say by way of introduction that Paul has been dealing with doctrine so far in this book. He's been dealing with devotion and decisions until this point. Now he's at the end of the book here in chapter number 4, and he begins to deal with division. So we have Doctrine, chapter 1, Devotion, chapter 2, Decisions, chapter 3, and Division, chapter 4. I want you to notice that he mentions two women in verse number 2, that of Euodias and Syntyche. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. Why did he mention these two women? Well, I believe that he mentioned these two women because these two women, they were at odds. They were at odds. Evidently, these two were not at peace with one another, because Paul, he does tell them to be, notice if you would, in verse 2, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So we have two women that are at odds. I want to speak tonight on this subject just for a few moments, and that is two mad women. Two mad women. I know I better be careful with what I'm talking about, all right? But I promise you that I would not share this unless the Lord had told me to. And since the Lord told me to, I know you're probably wondering, or maybe wondering at some point during this lesson, or even now, who is Brother Justin talking about? I mean, he's talking about two mad women. I wonder if it's me he's talking about. I will tell you, and be frank and honest before God and the church right now, who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Euodias and Syntyche. That's who I'm talking about. These two women. And again, Paul gets to this portion of Scripture in chapter number 4 as he gets ready to close out this book, and he deals with division. Division. I do want to say this lesson tonight isn't just for women, but it's for men as well. There's some practical things here that can be applied to similar situations in our life, and that's what I want to get at tonight as we look at this topic. I want to give you four things Paul shares about this conflict between these two mad women. Number one, in verse number 2, we see Paul's serious entreaty. He has a very serious entreaty towards these two women. Notice what he says in verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, Paul had heard about the disharmony between the two sisters in Christ here. He heard about it, and so therefore he wrote about it. And he had to write about it because it was something that could divide the people of God. It only takes either one or two that could cause division in the church. And so we see that Paul was in prison, but yet he wanted to comment on this disunity, and he wanted to deal with it. There was an urgency here in the heart of Paul. There was an urgency. And as I said a moment ago, this urgency was here because of the ongoing conflict that was beginning to affect the entire congregation. And it was distracting them from their mission. Their mission was to share the gospel. And yet there was this quabble, if you'd allow me to say that, going on between these two. And Paul felt the need, after talking about what he did in chapter 1, the doctrine, chapter 2, the decisions, chapter 3, the devotion and all of that, and began to deal with division. Division is a big thing that must be dealt with in the church. There must be unity within the church. Now, the word beseech here, he says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. That word beseech, it means to entreat. It means to urge. It means to beg even. And so the word picture here is of someone on their knees urging and begging for something to happen. And so Paul, in essence, he is communicating. Paul communicates with intensity and urgency. And he's repeating the word beseech to each woman. Did you notice that? I beseech Euodias. I beg Euodias and beseech Syntyche, or beg Syntyche. If there was just one beseech, why, Syntyche would be saying, Paul's talking about Euodias. And so he's saying, I'm talking to both you women. I beseech, I beg Euodias. I beseech, I beg Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And so each woman has a beseech to this verse. And again, the word picture is of someone on their knees urging and begging for something to happen. And Paul, with intensity and urgency, he is beseeching and pleading to these two women that they change. That they change. He wants them to change. He wants them to talk. He wants them to communicate. He wants their differences ironed out so that the mission can carry on. So many distractions we deal with in the church, isn't it? I mean, it could just be something someone says. It can even be sometimes something someone doesn't say. But no matter what it is, or at any rate, the mission is to share the gospel and reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul here, he is beseeching both women with intensity and urgency for them to be of the same mind in the Lord. When two people are not united, particularly in a church setting we're talking about here tonight, it will affect and infect the ministry and mission of the church. Am I right about it? It can, when there is disunity of any kind, whether two women, two men, boys and girls, whatever's going on in the church, if there's something undone, if there is some kind of disunity in the church, it can affect and infect the ministry and mission of a church. And so he is begging Euodias, please, Euodias, for Christ's sake, just be the bigger person. And then he says, I'm begging you, Syntyche, you be the biggest person. You be the bigger person. Take the high road. Work it out with Euodias. The only way this group of believers were going to move forward with the mission of the gospel is for somebody to be the bigger person. You know, sometimes adults are more childish than children. You know that? I mean, kids, they will, hey, give me my building block back. No, that's mine. And then they'll give it back, and another will find another toy, and they're playing, and they're eating lunch together, and they're fine. Something happens between two adults, they may never talk again. You know? And so this can derail and possibly destroy what God is trying to do at any church. Again, man or woman. That's why division, things that divide, must be dealt with immediately. Immediately. Axe at the root. Nip it in the bud. Take care of it instantly. Move on. So we see, number one, Paul's serious entreaty when it comes to these two mad women. Now, a couple more things with my first point before we move on. I do want you to notice something else, that in verse number one, Paul says this, therefore, notice, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And so he mentions the people of God in verse 1. But if you notice in verse number 4, he mentions rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And then right there in the middle, like a sandwich, verse 2, verse 3, he urges these two women to get along with each other. And so the simple conclusion is this. There is the body of Christ, there is the church, verse 1. There is joy and rejoicing in verse 4. And then there is the potential for conflict in verse 2 and 3. So the simple conclusion is this. We can't fully rejoice and have joy in our hearts or the church if we're not reconciled and in unity. That's just the gospel truth tonight. And so Paul mentions that. And so again, my point number one is Paul's serious entreaty. But I want you to notice a second thing in verse 2. Paul's letter read. Paul's letter read. This letter, I believe, was read to the people of God. Evidently it was, because, again, verse 1, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, all has doctrine and about dedication, about making decisions, forget the past, move forward, about division. Imagine this. Imagine what it was like for these two women when they heard this letter read out loud for the first time. Let's just say the pastor got up to read. All right. These two women were sitting on opposite sides of the church with their supporters who were siding with them. All right. Maybe they all were excited and anxious to hear from Paul or the preacher and getting ready to take sermon notes. Paul gets through chapter 1 talking about doctrine. And then he moves on to chapter number 2 and he talks about devotion. And then he gets into chapter number 3. He talks about decision. And we love chapter number 3. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before. I believe possibly these two women on both sides at odds with one another said, oh yeah, we got to forget those things which are behind. But then the reader or the preacher gets to chapter number 4 about division. Can you imagine their faces? Let's just say that the pastor is reading chapter 4. Everybody's excited to this point. And he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Both women, Euodias and Syntyche. Yeah! 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 He says, I want to share another verse with you. Verse number 2. And it goes like this. Okay, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, rejoice. I beseech Syntyche. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Everybody in the church knows what's going on. And now, I mean, they were on opposite ends and they had their pens and sermon notes and they were excited, but now it really hits home. I mean, this is the letter read, riding their hearing. They were ambushed with the gospel truth. Work out your differences. I mean, Paul called them by name here. I beseech Euodias. I beseech you too, Syntyche. Y'all know what's been going on. It's been going on for too long. It's time for you to put your differences aside and be of the same mind in the Lord so we can move forward. I can imagine the tension that would be in the air. I mean, you could cut it with a knife. And you know, I'm sure that wasn't easy for Paul to call out these two ladies. These two ladies labored with Paul, if you read in verse number 3, and we'll get into that in a minute. Side by side, laboring friends, and God tells him, I want you to deal with this. And so he stands up and he calls them out. It's never a happy day when a pastor or preacher has to call somebody out. And I would advise to to do it privately or go to that person, but hey, there's times when the Holy Ghost says now, and you gotta do what the Holy Ghost says. But I want you to notice something else. These two names. The name Eodius, and I've read several commentators, and they've said, and with my own study, Eodius means sweet smell. The name Syntyche means friendly friend. So we have sweet smell and friendly friend at odds together. Now, we don't know the reason for their division, but I can tell you this, they weren't being sweet and they weren't being friendly. So how about we rename them to Odious and Soon Touchy? How about that? Odious and Soon Touchy. They have a stink to their attitude, and if you say anything to them, they'll get offended. But yet the Lord seems fit for Paul to write this down, the Holy Spirit, and to mention it, and it's being read. And I can imagine how red, R-E-D, their faces are during this time. It was a time for these two ladies to take responsibility personally and make things right. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 12:18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you been offended by someone? If you have you made every possible attempt to make things right? Have you gone to them and asked and told them, say, hey, you offended me? Or maybe you offended somebody. Have you gone to them and made things right? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you see, that's important that that we are to live peaceably as much as we can with all men for gospel's sake. If we want the mission to move along, we must get along. All right? And so we see Paul's letter read. But then number three tonight, I want us to notice Paul's focus on Christ. His focus is on Christ in verse number 2. Notice the scripture says, I beseech Eodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So it's interesting that Paul here, he doesn't take sides. There's no partiality here. He's not a side taker. He stands on truth. And Paul doesn't take sides here. He places the resolve on Jesus. On Jesus. Again, he says that they be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, ladies, for Christ's sake, let's wrap this thing up. Ladies, men even, for Christ's sake, Let's iron this out and move forward for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. So he puts the focus on Christ. Let me mention this. The words here, same mind, that they be of the same mind in the Lord, it means to interest oneself. It means to agree. But it also has to do with harmony. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like musical notes in a chord. Paul basically is telling them to stop making noise and start making music by living in accord with each other in harmony. How about that? Now, Brother Jeff, you play the guitar. And I have no idea what you were doing in that room before church, but I think I have an Well, I said I had no idea. I might have an idea. Were you tuning your guitar? What was you doing? I mean, you have a tuner, right? But what is that tuner used for? To bring everything in harmony. You pre-tuned it. That's even better. Get tuned up before you come to church. Amen? Get tuned up before you even come to church. But Paul's saying here, the same mind. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, be of the same interests. Interest yourself in the Lord, both of you. This one, interest yourself in Jesus. If Euodias interests herself in Jesus and Syntyche interests herself in Jesus, guess what? They both will be in one accord in the Lord with the same interests. And so there has to be harmony. There has to be an agreement here. Philippians 2:2, I'll just read it to you. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Again, we don't know what the root issue was here, but the principle can be applied to all situations similar in nature. We're called to agree in the Lord. We're all called to have interest. We're all called to interest ourselves in the Lord. That's why we're here tonight, is for the Lord. We're not here for us per se. I mean, in some measure we are, to hear from the Lord, but we're here to glorify Him, to serve Him. We're here as a body of Christ to work together in all of those things. But we must agree. If that's going to happen, we must agree in the Lord. Interest ourselves in the Lord. We must be of the same mind in the Lord. We're united in Jesus positionally. So we must strive to be united personally with each other. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. It don't demand an answer. The answer to that is no. If you're going to walk together, you got to have the same destination in mind. I mean, you got to be going in the same direction. And so let's agree on our mission and move ahead tonight. And so we see Paul's letter read. We see Paul's focus on Christ. And then I want to mention one more thing to you. We may be finished a few minutes early. But number four, we see Paul's pulls for help, or Paul's pull for help. Verse number three, he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now, we don't know exactly who this in particular yoke fellow is, but he does say, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, Euodias and Syntyche. That's who he's talking about. And so he's pulling for help. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, another he labored with. Most believe that's a man. Also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So Paul pulls for help here. Now, the name there, true yoke fellow, and I entreat thee, whoever he was talking about, true yoke fellow, the true yoke fellow means true companion. True companion. It means loyal yoke fellow. True companion. Loyal yoke fellow. And so at the end of the day, we can say that this true yoke fellow is one who brings people together. Paul says, I'm calling on my true yoke fellow. You have the background of a pulling people together and not apart. Oh, we need so many people more and more to pull people together, not apart. So we see here that he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. And so Paul is wanting this yoke fellow to help with these two women, Euodias and Syntyche. He wants to talk, he wants him to talk to them and advise them and encourage them to work their differences out. He says, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And so Paul here, he's pulling for help. He wants help. And so he can call on some who are able to help in this matter. Let us tonight be those who pull people together, who bond people together, and not let us not be guilty of the latest gossip or the latest blunder someone made. But let us be a lover of all men. Let us be of the same mind. Let us be like-minded. Let us be filled with love. Let us be in one accord. And so tonight we have these two angry women. They just were not in accord together. They were not in unity, and it was beginning to spread into the church. So Paul felt the need from prison to write about this. Again, we're not being this way to women only, but to men and to boys and girls and whoever it applies to. But tonight, that was just four simple things that I wanted to share about the conflict between these two women. Paul, he was serious about his entreaty. The letter was read, and the focus was on Christ, and he pulls for help. And so tonight I pray that the lesson helped you in some small way. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we could have labored a bit longer on these points, but I feel like the point was made, all four of them, clearly. And Paul was trying to be the glue here. He was trying to work some things out between these two women. He called on his true yoke fellow, and I'm sure there was other true yoke fellows he could call on to do this. Help us be the same way, Lord. Help us be problem settlers, not problem makers, boat rowers, not boat rockers. Lord, because the mission is to get the gospel out, and that's what we want to do. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Anybody got anything they want to share before we totally conclude? All right. Well, thank you for coming tonight, and I'm looking forward to Sunday's services coming up, so you be in prayer about that, and everybody have a great rest of the week, and